Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Ditya, Bobby Hebert from the WWL Studios downtown here in New Orleans. Our show is sponsored by the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. So we want to thank them for being great sponsors here of Second Guest. At 6:30 tonight, we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. Zach Strief takes over as the host, and it'll be the Saints Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton. His guest tonight will be Saints tight ends coach and assistant head coach Dan Campbell will be on with Sean. And at 7:30 tonight, man, you can't ask for anything better. Monday Night Football here on the Big 870. The Baltimore Ravens play the Kansas City Chiefs, and that might be a precursor to what we see in the AFC Championship game. And two of the biggest talents, certainly in pro football today, in Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, sort of squaring off. On the line with us now, once a purple knight, always a purple knight, from ESPN, Stan Verrett. Stan, I got to roll with that one all the time, brother, but thanks for being on with us.
Hey, man, always great to be with you guys. Hey, something else to keep in mind about that Monday Night Football game. Remember, there's only one first-round bye this year with the new playoff format, so this is critical for both of those teams.
No question about it. Before we get to the Saints, you got to see him play at LSU, but, man, what an impact. And quickly, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has done for the Chiefs in that running game. And, man, you stand up next to Clyde, Stan, you think, man, I'm a big dude, you know, compared to Clyde. But, boy, he plays like he's 6'6" when he's out there on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, particularly in that Alabama game last year, really sold me on his potential as a pro, because LSU didn't win that game last year without him. And he was fantastic in that game. And you look at all those first-round draft picks who were out there for both teams, and he might have been the best player on the field that night. And so that's when I said, you know what? He's undersized, but he's got what it takes to make it. And, you know, he's showing it.
Now, Stan, you being out in L.A., have you been able to witness the new stadium? I mean, I heard it's like the NFL, Disney World, Disneyland, however you describe it. But the reason why I bring that up, I think the Saints have a chance, hopefully, if they're going to be Super Bowl or bust, to go on a roll. Because I thought they could be 3-0, 2-1, or 1-2. Now, I didn't think they would lose to the Raiders. But you look at Detroit, then you got the Chargers on Monday Night Football, October the 12th, then a bye week, then you're hosting Carolina, then at Chicago. I think the Bears are pretenders. Before you play Tom Brady in Tampa Bay again, November the 8th at Tampa Bay. So, listen, that's why I think you got to slow your roll. You got to break it down in quarters, you know, 4, 8, 12, 16, before you cut. Oh, no, the sky is falling. What's wrong with the Saints? Because we've seen this before. And I try to tell the Who Dat Nation that if you look at 2017, realistically, we started out 0-2, but we won 11 of the final 14 games. We made the playoffs, but that's why it does matter who you're playing and maybe the perception as far as who's really legit or not. But I am not discouraged so much where the Saints are at right now.
Well, you're disappointed.
I'm disappointed, but not discouraged.
Yeah, I would say that's a good way to put it. I mean, the division is still going to be winnable. And so, you know, that's always first thing I look at is, can you win the division, get in the playoffs, and then anything can happen. So the division is certainly still winnable. But I'll tell you, what's really concerning me are these pass interference penalties.
Yes.
If you think back a few years ago, I hate to even bring it up, but you think back to the Brandon Browner era, and once a team gets a reputation for pass interference penalties, I just think human nature, subconsciously, the officials are watching them, and the Saints, it's obvious that they're being coached to play aggressively in the secondary.
Right.
Okay, and if you play aggressively in the secondary, you get a flag-happy crew, then that can be a disaster, especially if you develop the reputation for being a team that commits a lot of pass interference penalties, because the officials look at trends the same way everybody else looks at trends, and if they see you as that type of a team and you get a flag-happy crew, look, there's going to be some crews that just let them play. And the Saints will benefit from that. But some of these calls have been ticky-tack. Some of the calls last, the horse collar on Jenkins was a blown call. And some of these other calls were bad last night.
How about this spot? How about this spot with the first down? It was like it was off by like a yard and a half or a yard and a foot. Hey. Like what?
Hey, the officials didn't get preseason games either. You know what I mean? So they're working on getting into regular season shape too. And those guys last night were not in shape. You know,
right?
So, but you don't want to get a reputation as a team with a problem with pass interference penalties, because more so than anything else, as Saints fans know better than anybody, pass interference penalties change the game as much as any other penalty because they're spot fouls, and you throw it up 40 yards in the air, the guy doesn't catch it, but you're still on the 1 yard line, you know?
Right.
So they got to get that under control. That has to be job number one for Aaron Glenn in the secondary. They got to get these pass interference penalties under control because you're getting big chunks of yards. You're getting set up on the 1 yard line, that sort of thing. They got to get that under control. That's the main thing.
Well, Stan, you would think that Matthew Stafford, because he can fling it, that he's going to push the envelope. And I don't know, might be a 50-50 deal. Let me just throw it down the field because
and
I might get the
call.
Either
he come up with the catch or we get an interference.
Right.
So. Exactly. They got to be mindful of that. I hear the yearly Drew Brees slander every game. I'm like, how many times do people have to learn this lesson about Drew Brees? Like, I've been hearing this for the last 5 years. Oh, he's done. Oh, he's washed up. Oh, he's done. And then he comes back, he leads the league in passing, you know, and gets the Saints to the playoffs. And people, and look, I know Father Time's undefeated.
Right.
Okay? But at some point, you know, it's going to be time to move on. But just the time has not come yet. I mean, I just think, you know, he didn't have a preseason either. And, you know, people are throwing the ball down the field. Hey, man, you get that ball to Alvin Kamara in space, I'd rather have that than throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, the percentages.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Get those guys in open space. I mean, that's why you get an Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, you saw what Emmanuel Sanders did in open space against the Saints last year,
right?
In the Superdome. So you get guys like that, you distribute the ball. I mean, you know, look, the Saints only take two or three deep shots down the field anyway, you know, which is why Drew Brees leads the league in completion percentage. I think he's all time in completion percentage.
Yes.
Because you play a high percentage passing game. So all this, you know, throw the bomb on every play, I mean, it's just not smart football.
Stan, I'll throw something off of the Saints because I know Bobby got another Saints question. But growing up in Louisiana and watching what's happening in Atlanta right now, you got a little bit of a, man, what the world's happening there? But, boy, I'm glad it's them getting it. You know, now this has become a mental thing with the Falcons as a player.
Oh, yeah.
You can see it now that, man, they hit that fourth quarter, and look at that. Man, here we go again.
They have to be winning by 30 points instead of like 14
and
15.
You say, man, have we been that as Saints, you know, growing up as a Saints fan, no lead was safe. You know,
no
lead was safe, and now they're going through it. But unprecedented now that this is back-to-back games. They have lost with a 15-point or more lead entering the fourth quarter. That's just not a breakdown of physical play. That's also in their heads, and that's not going away anytime soon.
No, everybody's looking around at everybody else like, who's going to be the guy to screw this up? I hope it's not me. Instead of, let's do what it takes to finish this game off and win. You know, I think it's as much an attitude as anything else. And you're right. And, you know, look, sometimes I think people put too much on coaches, but a coach has to set a mental tone when you're in this situation now. And he's got to get those guys' brains working in the right direction to say, listen, we're not going to focus on not losing. We're going to focus on going out and doing the things that it takes to win, you know, because you're right. You shouldn't be blowing those leads. You shouldn't be blowing those leads like that.
But Stan, here's the thing.
As I said on Twitter, last week after they lost to the Cowboys, I almost feel sorry for them. Almost.
Almost. But here's my deal. If your strength is as a defensive coach and that's where you failing, you got no shot to survive.
Because
that's Dan Quinn's bread and butter.
Right.
He's a defensive coach.
Yeah.
Not that they're not scoring points. They ain't stopping nobody and not stopping people in the fourth quarter.
That's a reflection of him.
A big-time reflection of Dan Quinn.
Well, the special teams coach still has some questions to answer, too, after the onside kick.
Onside kick, yeah, against the Cowgirls. We're speaking with Stan Verrett, the great Stan Verrett, ESPN. Now, Stan, you being a big part of the Houdat Nation, do you think Sean Payton will ever have patience as far as if we're able to run the ball for half, why don't we do it for four quarters? I mean, I'm looking, we have over 100 yards rushing in the first half. We end up having only 12 yards in the second half. And then we only have 20 attempts. And I look what occurred in the Raiders game. I'm looking at the Patriots and how that was structured. Belichick runs 38 times against the Raiders, 250 yards. I mean, to me, if you're averaging 6 yards an attempt, shame on the team if you're not having at least 30 rushing attempts. Because I look at less of Drew is more now. You have the right leader. Very similar on the back end, what occurred with John Elway when the Broncos were running the ball in the late 90s. He's winning the Super Bowl, and Peyton Manning with the Broncos and having that complete team. So that, to me, is frustrating how we still don't have enough patience to run throughout the game, especially if we haven't success.
Well, I always go back to 09 where they would establish a run with Pierre and Mike Bell. They would score a bunch of points, and then in the fourth quarter, Mike Bell and Pierre would help put it away, you know, and that seemed to be a winning formula. I think, you know, when you get a really innovative offensive-minded coach like Sean Payton, I think he wants to run it and keep running it until they're expecting the run, and then he wants to throw.
Right.
And I think he might have gotten away from them expecting to run a little too early against the Packers, because if they don't stop it, then you just keep running it, you know?
Right.
But somebody else also said to me, no coach ever got called a genius for running the 34 smash up the middle.
Right.
Not in today's age.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe in the 60s and 50s, but not today. Yeah.
And they all want to show what they got. And
yes.
So I just think, you know, subconsciously that always comes into play. Man, wait till they see this play, you know, as opposed to give it to Murray, give it to Kamara, keep pounding him.
I agree.
Stan, one of the things is I don't know if you got to watch the LSU game, but, man, seeing how well this team and DBU and everything else, man, to watch.
Stan, it was DB Poo.
Man, to watch Mike Leach. And people were telling me, oh, Mike Leach is going to change. I was like, what? He ain't never changed in his life. He ain't never going to change just going to Mississippi State. He's not going to be a run-oriented coach at all. He built his reputation on throwing the football. And, man, did he have not a complicated game plan, but, boy, he had the right one against LSU.
Well, and, Stan, you know this. To go from Pullman, Washington to Starkville, it's the same place. It just one's in the northwest and one's in the south. Come on,
the accents are different. That's the only thing.
Exactly.
Stan, thanks so much for joining us tonight, bud. We really appreciate it.
Hey, always a pleasure to be on with you guys.
All right, thanks
Stan.
So much. Stan Verrett from ESPN, New Orleanian, man, always, man, if you follow him on Twitter, boy, you can tell, man, he waved that black and gold flag, and he sticks it to the Falcons every chance he gets. We're going to throw it to the Saints Radio Network. Zach Streif takes over as the host for the Saints Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton. His guest tonight will be the Saints tight ends coach, assistant head coach Dan Campbell. Thank you for listening to Second Guess.